Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
Hey homies, what's up? Welcome back, everybody. We missed you. Everybody's out there looking good. I hope y'all in good spaces. Welcome back to The Bridge. If you're new to our podcast, The Bridge Millennial Podcast is the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. We are your co-hosts. My name is Rob.
My name is Shannon Ashalia. Hey, hey, hey. What's up, y'all?
Yes, and we got a good show planned for you guys today. And what's up, Shan? How you been? I feel like I haven't spoken to you in forever.
I'm doing really, really well. Despite what's going on in the world right now, I am really trying to stick with the positive vibes, trying to be really thankful about where I am in life. And we're celebrating life right now. It's Champagne Poppy's birthday today.
Passport Poppy.
Champagne Poppy. Poppy. That's Drake. That's Drake. Passport, probably because I'm drinking right now. Passport Hello. Poppy. It's Passport Poppy's birthday, aka Blake, one of our favorite glitch homies. So I just want to, and my best friend. So I want to give a loving shout out to my bestie on your Jesus birthday. We love you very much.
Big
3-3. Let's go. The big 3-3. We love you very much, and I am right behind you, homie. So,
Yes. Well, we're going to keep some positive vibes going. I got some great news that I want to talk about. We are coming off of the tail end. The first and foremost, this is March, so this is Women's History Month. We're just now finishing wrapping things up from Black History Month. And I just hope everybody out there is in some good positive spaces. I feel like we do need some positive energy just to kind of push through all of the negative that's going on in the world right now. So we are definitely going to jump into vital information and talk about some things because I found out some things, y'all. I got some things.
Lit, let's do it.
And now, more vital information for your everyday life.
Okay, so first and foremost, the three officers were convicted of violating George Floyd's civil rights. A lot of you might have heard about it. It was last week. The jury found them guilty. They tried to say we had poor training or the bystanders distracted us. But the jury was not having that, y'all. The jury said Officer Tao, Officer King, and Officer Lane, y'all are guilty. The one, they participated, but they wasn't the main person. The main officer was Officer Chauvin, and he'd been convicted already. He pled guilty to murder. So these three on this trial, they were basically trialed for negligence and like neglecting George Floyd's medical needs by not responding to his medical needs and making sure that he was okay. But in addition to that, in June, they're going to be charged for murder and manslaughter because, one, the man died and the officer with his knee on his neck already pled guilty to murder. The people that assisted, quote unquote assisted, they're going to be charged with a whole nother set of charges, which is, I think that's good.
As they should.
I'm glad that we got justice for George Floyd, especially coming off of, you know, this is the 10-year anniversary of Trayvon Martin's death. He would have been 26 this year. Actually, he would have turned 26 last month. So I'm glad that we are actually starting to see some changes in the world and starting to see what's going on. And furthermore, the jury that convicted these people was an all-white jury.
Let's just wait for the sentencing. Let's wait for the sentencing because we know they can be convicted, but what's that sentencing looking like?
They already, for this particular charge, I think they were looking at, I don't want to quote it because I didn't grab the numbers, but I believe it was somewhere in the 25-year ballpark for just this charge. This will stack on top of the aid and abetted murder manslaughter charge that they get.
As it should.
They're going to get that charge. They're going to get that charge. There's no way they're going to get that charge.
When something's on camera like that, You know, it's I'm loving that we're in 2022. That's the one thing that I love about this awful, awful situation is that it was caught on camera. I believe the person that filmed it got an award. They got like an award. Which award did they get? Because I feel like, oh, it was a Pulitzer. That's what it was. I believe they got a Pulitzer Prize for their courageous filming of that terrible, terrible murder. So kudos to them and kudos to their bravery, because if they wouldn't have gotten that on camera, this might be a totally different situation.
Absolutely. And kudos to all of the people. This is, I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to just kind of give a gracious thank you to all of those people that are out there protesting and catching these things on camera and using their platform to expose that. Because of those steps, we are able to be at the place right now where we stand with these convictions. So we are making some strides in the justice system. Speaking of Joe Biden, Uncle Great Grand. Say it for me, Shan. Great Grand.
Great Grand, Uncle Joe. Great Grand, Uncle Joe, what you doing?
He nominated the first Black woman to sit on the Supreme Court. Yes. Shout out to Quintaji Brown Jackson. Her parents grew up in segregation. They never gave up hope. Her opinions, he says, is always carefully reasoned and tethered to the precedent that demonstrates respect for law impacts on everyday people. And the good part about this is that unlike major pieces of legislation, the Democrats don't need Republican support on this time around. The Supreme Court has 50 votes that will go to her, and Kamala Harris will be the tiebreaker. So that's pretty much going to happen.
I love that.
She's also a D.C. native.
Come on, D.C. native. Chocolate City. We love that. Yes,
she has her dress, and I'm just here for it. I just was like, give it to me. This happened last week. So,
you know, people, and as they should, are holding Biden accountable for the things that he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
And he said what he said, and he did what he said he was going to do with this
great
one.
Grand.
So, great grand.
Yes.
Great grand did come through on this one. So we'll see about the rest of the season. We still got our eye on you.
But
thank you for this milestone.
Yes, absolutely. So we are excited to see that moving forward. I can't wait for this. So when guys look out for the elections and stuff, I know that there's a lot happening in the world, but very often we get, I don't want to say gaslighted, but the media kind of spins us away from our democratic responsibilities in terms of voting and things like that. So make sure y'all look out for her. Make sure y'all support her. There's a lot going on with voter suppression right now. So it is important for you to take that extra step and keep up with that. Last but not least, keep the black going, okay. The NAACP Image Awards, y'all. The NAACP Image Awards, Issa Rae walked away with so much. She got, the biggest award was the Outstanding Writing for the series finale of Insecure. Issa Rae deserved every piece of flower. I compare her work to a likeness of Spike Lee, like a modern day Spike Lee. I love everything about the Insecure series, and I love Issa Rae's vision and what she put forth. So shout out to her for that, period. But the big, big news was that this year there was a social media personality category. So let me just give you a quick rundown. Some of the people in the category was LaRon Hines. He does the whole show that he does on Instagram where he interviews the kids and be like, are you smart? Like with Jabria. Y'all know Jabria. Jabria, are you smart? Yes. You know, that's your girl. Kev on Stage was also nominated for his comedy skits on Instagram. Terrell Grice. I don't know if y'all follow Terrell Grice, but he is the Terrell Show on YouTube. Basically, he brings on actual singers and tests their knowledge on music, as well as do these fun little quizzes and things like that. You get to hear your singers sing other songs, the word song association, and you know, things like that. It's just a really fun, upbeat song, and he does showcase a lot of black talent. Some of these are big names that you know, and some of these are like smaller names that you might not know, but you probably should. Some of them are OGs, some of them are newbies. So he really does that. He does it really well. He keeps the essence of the culture in his show. So it's amazing. And then I don't want to mess up this girl's name, Lanae Vanier. How do you say her name? She does the Parking Lot Pimpin'.
We love her. Her Instagram handle is at Lanizy. Keep it black, but keep it brief, baby.
Right. So these were the people that was nominated. Of these people that was nominated, LaRon Hines did win. And at first, I was like, well, why is he winning for bringing these kids on, quizzing them? But I was speaking to our other Glitch homie, Sam, and she was reminding me, like, he was the only person that doesn't really have produced content, and his content includes the kids. So by awarding him this award, he's also awarding those kids for having that notoriety and participating in the success of that brand to the point where there is a show. Do y'all know the show Abbott Elementary? I don't know if you watch it. It's on Netflix.
No, it is. Yes, it is on
somebody. Yeah, Hulu.
It's on, well, it's playing on Hulu.
HBO.
It's on Hulu. And right, you went through all of them. You can play it on Hulu, but I believe it is an ABC show. Plays in it. Hulu has kept up with the episodes. It's really funny, y'all. We love Abbott Elementary.
Yes, it's cute. But the thing about after this award, they want to bring on Jabria as a part of the show. So I think that's just amazing. So after realizing that, I'm like, yeah, you know, you did open the door for these young, talented people to kind of fall into a culturally sensitive career. So shout out to them. We love to see it. And I have one more thing that I'm going to save for the mental health and society segment that I want to talk about. Because that's going to be some juice.
Wait, mental health and society? That's all the way at the end.
I know. But there's one more topic that I want to discuss, but I want to kind of have a deeper conversation on that as its own thing. So we're going. We kept it black. We kept it brief. All good things. Shout out to the black community. Shout out to all of these innovators and these creators that are paving ways. Shout out to the justice that's being brought on behalf of George Floyd. We looking. Don't think I didn't look up Breonna Taylor. There's some stuff, but I'm going to hold on and wait till I get more information. But I'm just loving the state of the world right now and just kind of embracing these wins because we don't get them that often. And all of these things unfolded within the past 2 weeks, and it just was just really nice to immerse ourselves. So you got to take the crookeds with the straights, y'all. So shout out to us. We out here winning.
Well, let's be specific. The state of the black world right now, because the state of the overall world, not so good. But yes, we love these black wins right now. We are staying super positive, and I am just really happy for and excited for 2022 and what that has to bring.
Yes.
For our mental health, for the black community. I feel like we've learned some lessons. Like right now, we're definitely being tested, like on this like possible World War III shit. I feel like this is a test to see whether the world's superpowers are going to do the same shit they always do or move differently. So I think that kind of goes across the board with everything, with race relations, with these convictions, with giving accolades to people when they are due, while they're still on this earth. Like these are lessons that we've had to learn. And I hope that we've learned them as a society in general. So thank you for that information, Rob. Did you have something else that you wanted to?
Absolutely. No, that is all we have for vital information. We will keep following these stories and definitely bring you guys some more updates, but that's what we got.
Lid. Okay. So just because also, yes, it is March 1st. We're recording this on March 1st. So happy Women's History Month. But I will say that you know that we get the shortest month of the year in February for Black History. So in my mind, it's still going. And Black History should be 365, especially because they're trying to snatch it out of schools. So let's just go ahead and keep it pushing. So for today's Way Back, we have a little bit of Black Sit. sitcom history that we're going to tap into. So let's go ahead and get it.
What we going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
So today I want to go way back and talk about what our favorite Black sitcoms were growing up. See, growing up, we didn't have a lot of Black dramas, so let's be honest. I kind of can't think of one Black drama. But we did have sitcoms, and a lot of the sitcoms kind of had to squeeze everything in. They had to squeeze the comedy. They had to squeeze the drama in. They had to squeeze those issues in while also trying to maintain, like, a comical tone. So I just want to, first of all, say kudos to all the writers of our favorite 90s and 2000s shows. But now, Rob, I am going to get your opinion on these favorite shows. And I kind of want to talk about some of these shows because a lot of these shows have been rebooted, which is really cool.
Okay.
So, and let me know, Rob, if there's something on here that I've forgotten that you're really into. I just tried to do the heavy hitters. Okay. So we have Martin, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, of course, Family Matters, Jamie Foxx Show, Sister Sister, Smart Guy, Moesha, Living Single, and Girlfriends. So I want to know what your all-time favorite is, and then you can do like a top five.
Did you say Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Of course, yes.
You didn't add Wayne's Brothers on there, which I...
Oh, yeah. The Wayne's Brothers. That's what I love, said. There's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Was I... Of that list, though, I would say...
We can add Wayne's Brothers on the list. Like I said,
yeah, we gotta add Wayne's Brothers. Because I was... Sean and Marlon, those was like... My big brothers. I just knew that we were all related. So I really liked that, the Wayne's Brothers. Love the Fresh Prince.
Well, since we're talking about the Wayne's, let's go ahead and add My Wife and Kids on there as well.
See, now if we're going for UPN, it's My Wife and Kids, one-on-one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, dang, the list never ends. Right, one-on-one.
One-on-one, the Parkers. Like, you got to get...
The Parkers, we got it right. All the spinoffs.
Yeah, I feel like UPN was its own vibe, though. It was like its own situation. Before UPN, when we talk about WB type shit... I think you hit the nail on the head. Those are the goodies. It's not really, you're not really going to find a Black sitcom that's not good though.
Right. But I need to know. Stop avoiding the question. You're deflecting. I need to know what your I need your number one favorite out of all those shows. Like, which one did you connect to the most? And then I need a close second.
Okay, I would say the one I connected to the most probably was Wayne's Brothers. Because of, like, I feel like I was the right age to start connecting with sitcoms. And it wasn't too many sitcoms that featured just, like, guys, like, all male casts. Like, it wasn't too much of that. So I was definitely more connected to sitcoms during that time. So it would have to be Wayne's Brothers. I also liked Malcolm and Eddie. But that was like Wayne's Brothers was my go-to. I did not want to miss an episode, period. Which is hilarious because I can't recall not a single storyline. Like, you asked me, but if I saw some signs, like, and I just love Sean and Marlon, so.
They silly as hell. All their storylines were silly as hell.
Yes, it was.
That's what it was.
Bang, bang, bang. Pops, bang, 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 yittity. I liked Pops, and they had the officer, Shorty. What's her name? Deborah? What's her name? Denise? Something.
Maybe Denise. I think Denise. Oh, Steve Harvey Show. We definitely forgot some. Steve Harvey was definitely a good one.
Okay, so the Harvey Show
That was on the WB. There were different vibes for sure. I'm going to have to, it's hard for me, but kind of like you, I connected with the ones that were female forward. So Sister Sister has to be like my top. Sister Sister is my top one. Like, Tia and Tamara, nothing beats nothing beats Tia and Tamera together. Like, it was, and just to see them grow and to get older, that was like something to behold. My cousin and I, shout out to my cousin Amy, we used to, and like a lot of my friends, we used to just, we know all the lines to all the words in all the episodes of Sister, Sister. And I think it's such a beautiful thing that the two of them are still thriving to this day. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
We love you, Tia. We love you, Tamera. I connected with Tia a lot because she was the smart one. And I felt like I was definitely giving like soft nerd vibes, but still like grew into my hotness like the both of them did.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say probably one of the ones I watched the most would be Sister, Sister, Moesha. Now, Brandy. Now, you know how much I love Brandy. I do. But I also love people who are like triple threats, because it's like Tia and Tamera could also sing, which was a plus. And then you had Batman as Roger, who could also sing. And then Moesha, who Brandy on the show couldn't sing, but we knew that was really Brandy. But the one thing I loved about Moesha was I felt like Moesha's personality was probably a lot of Brandy. Like, you know, I felt like I knew her, and it was cool because I was such a huge fan of hers.
Yeah.
So I felt like I knew her, and, you know, her navigating her teenage years was a very interesting thing to watch.
For sure.
But Fresh Prince, like, I have to, that's like an honorable mention. Like, yeah. Fresh Prince.
That's like Lion King and Disney. Like, Fresh Prince is just going to have that ring. Nothing's really...
Yeah, like, you can't leave. You can't... Fresh Prince is kind of like in one of those untouchable... Like, a lot of people feel like that's Martin. For me, it was definitely Fresh Prince that I kind of related to a little bit more. Even though I do like Martin, I definitely did not like it as much as Fresh Prince. And, you know, when the years go by, you can tell which one you really love and which one resonated with you, because you watch it over. I've seen Fresh Prince a million times over. And they're actually doing a reboot. Have you gotten into the reboot?
I have not. I've been saving it.
You stay saving stuff. What are you saving stuff?
Well, I know that we had talked about bringing the homies on and following it. And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know what episode we're going to bring it on. So I want to binge it though. I feel like it's so good and it's going to be so good. I want to just like binge watch it, but I don't think I'm going to be able to hold out much longer because everybody's talking about it. I want to see Coco.
Coco, first of all, the fat Coco as Hillary, the fashion. Oh my goodness. Like, wow, they're really doing that. Actually, shout out to somebody I know designed one of the dresses. So shout out to Riley Knox. Riley Knox is a Beyonce impersonator in the area, and she's actually really, really good and really big. She's worked with Taylor Swift as well, but she designed one of Coco's dresses on the show. So look out for that. It's like a... what's the color? Like a mint, not a mint, but like a seafoam green number, leather number. It's super cute. But that aside, if you haven't seen the reboot of Fresh Prince yet, let me give you like the rundown of what the vibes are. So, you know, like I said earlier, in the 90s, a lot of the black shows, we only got sitcoms. And so they had to kind of skew to the funnier side. And so some of those moments, like that moment where Will broke down crying with the gun in the hospital, talking about his. Yeah. So those moments really stand out because those were like emotional moments that, you know, were in a show that had to be funny all the time. Yeah. But I love this reimagined Fresh Prince because it's like a drama, but it's like, you know, it's in current day, but it's like, okay, if Fresh Prince wasn't an actual sitcom, but it was a drama, you know, what would it be like? And so the storyline follows the same. The storyline is almost exactly the same. But of course, they make it a lot more current. But the overarching, like, themes are there. And what really has thrown me off a little bit is, you know, when Will and Carlton first meet each other, there is a type of rivalry, there is a type of beef, but on this show, it's a whole new level. Because, like
yeah,
I said,
I heard.
It's not a sitcom, it's not a comedy. There are obviously some funny moments, but it's like their beef is real and it's throwing me the fuck off. But Carlton's a bitch. And that's all
Matt
I'll say.
Carlton is a bitch. Well, I know that's there's going to be a lot of that. Opportunity because remember, Will Smith was in front of a live studio audience. So most of their sets were identical throughout the entire series. Whereas this, you have location shots and more cinema elements. So I imagine this is just going to be like, it's grown black, rich Degrassi. And I'm just here for the whole situation. Which is kind of why I wanted to binge it, but it's like, I love Degrassi too, but...
Well, it's less, because Degrassi is, well, we know what Degrassi is. We love Degrassi. By the way, Degrassi is being rebooted at this moment as well, so y'all look out, especially as Euphoria has just ended, and if you are a Euphoria watcher, what a motherfucking season. Oh my gosh, y'all.
Yeah, I heard it was like... out of control.
It's bananas.
I love me some Zendaya too.
We already talked about our love for Zendaya. It's Zendaya. We at first, because when she first came out, we was calling her Zendaya. But we love you know, black folks give you your own, take their own pronunciation of your name and do whatever they want to with it. So sorry, Zendaya, but we absolutely love her. That girl deserves all the flowers. She acted her ass off, and not just her, the entire cast. Let me tell you, but what they bumped up was the nail game. All the nails on the show. Oh my gosh, they bumped up the fashion game. Shout out to the hair, Kim Kimble on the hair. Like, yo, it's a beautiful thing. And if you have not gotten into the season 2 of Euphoria, if you are like Rob and you have to binge watch things, now's the time because the season just ended on Sunday. So
yes.
Shout out to them. And I found out that the writer of the show loosely based Zendaya's character on himself. So, you know,
really?
People that, yeah, you know, you write about what you know as a writer, and that's going to give the most authentic story. So I thought that was a cool tidbit that they added with the after show elements, because after every show, they kind of give you an inside scoop or inside look on the episode and what it was like shooting those episodes. And there's a beautiful song that was sung in the last episode by one of the characters that was written by Zendaya and the musical director on the show as well. So check it out, you guys. It's just oh my gosh, Euphoria is so good. I mean, woo, we're gonna have to come back to that, Rob, when you watch it.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's my way back. That's my way back when today. We went back. Oh yeah, and Martin is being rebooted too. So y'all look out for that. All y'all Martin heads. Martin is being rebooted. Yes. Okay. So please look out for that. I told you before on another episode, I live for the reboots, okay? I live for it because sometimes you feel like the story just isn't over. You know, you've wondered for decades what has happened. So we're gonna get the chance to find out with that one. And if you all have your ear to the ground and there are more reboots coming of our favorite 90s and 2000s shows, please let us know so that we can put that on our watch list for the summer. And that's all I got for Way Back When.
That's what's up. Cool. So let's slide into the next segment, which is another Shan special, The Red to the Light to the District. I know the people. I wish we could have. We got to bring our girl. Shout out to Owade. We got to bring her back because ever since she said, like, read me for filth with my astrology, I'm like, wow, what's good with these aspects now? So we got to bring her back. So that's the story for another day. But Sham, what do you have with us for the Red Light District today?
So for the Red Light District today, we are going to go into relationships. So this one's going to be relationship forward for the most part. I have a question. This is like a question episode. I have a question for you, Rob. I kind of already know what you're going to say, but we'll see what the people think about that. So let's go ahead and dip When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Let's hand on your hip.
When I dip, you dip, we dip. Hey. Okay, so let's go ahead and dip into the red light district.
I want to be touched and feel it so much because everybody needs some good loving.
If I need it in the morning or the middle of the night,
I have to find the
bed. So today for the red light district, I want to talk a little bit more about like media. So we talked about TV shows and I kind of want to stay in that same vein because there are some shows that just came out with new seasons that I want to discuss. But there's like a bigger overarching theme here that I see some of these dating shows taking. So I want to talk about these dating shows that are, the purpose of them is to get people on the show to develop emotional connections with their potential partners and sometimes future spouses, as opposed to how we usually do things in 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, we meet people, we gauge whether we like them based on how they look. But there are some people out there that are trying to change a lot of the Western world's view on how you find a match. Because if you look at the Eastern world, there are a lot of like cultures that are into arranged marriages, a lot of Indians and Indian culture. You know, to this day, people are still doing arranged marriages. You have shows like Married at First Sight, which is like a modern day arranged marriage that is a match that is put together with some experts, matchmakers, different types of matchmakers. And they kind of put, you know, the stakes are high. They even do like before shows about which couples they feel like are going to make it that have been matched. You have shows like Love is Blind. Love is Blind, the season two, which we have been waiting for like a couple years, I feel like, just came out. And I definitely been. Did you watch Love is Blind, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about Love is Blind in a second, but, and then you have Too Hot to Handle. So Too Hot to Handle is not an arranged marriage or dating show. And Love is Blind is not arranged, but they date behind a wall, if you don't know. So they date behind a wall for a couple of weeks and there are like 14 women and 14 men and they all date each other to see if they connect with somebody on an emotional level. And then they propose to that person through the wall before they meet. The first time that they meet, they're already engaged. So that's like a step down for Married at First Sight. And Married at First Sight, the first time they see each other is at the wedding. So that's a little...
Damn.
That's a little bit more intense. And then you have shows that are like Too Hot to Handle. Too Hot to Handle season one. That show was season one. And I think, was it season two? Season three was like some trash. Too Hot to Handle vibe is that they put an island full of hot people together, hot and shallow people, people who are known to date for looks, people who are known to be promiscuous and date around. They put them on an island with the fake premise of another show. Like they'll say, you're going on this show that, you know, your purpose on this show is to flirt and date and have sex with as many people as possible, right? And then they go on the show and they find out that was a total farce, that was a lie, and that they can't engage in sexual activity or they will lose thousands of dollars. So it really, you know, shows you who cares about the money, who doesn't care about the money, who cares about making emotional connections. Because the thing is the emotional connection is tied to the money. And if you start making emotional connections, they will reward you. So it's an interesting thing to watch. So I'm going to pose this question to you, Rob. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know what you're going to say, but... You know, people get on these shows and they're like, yeah, people get on like Married at First Sight and Love is Blind. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm tired of the dating scene. I'm tired of dating around. I just want to find somebody who I can be with. I want an emotional connection. And then when they get there, it's a different story. So my question to you, Rob, is could you be with somebody that you weren't attracted to, but had a strong emotional connection with?
Could I marry somebody that I had the strong emotional connection to, but never like actually met?
Well, no, not so specifically to the show, but just do you think that you could marry somebody and maybe put yourself in the position of somebody in the show, but could you marry somebody based on an emotional connection or based on what somebody else says that, you know, you two are extremely compatible. You just have to work at it. So if the attraction wasn't there, let's say if you were on Married at First Sight and you told them exactly what you wanted in a mate and you are trusting them to listen, and then you get there and it's not giving what you thought it was going to give as far as the way that they look. Or let's say you're on Love is Blind and you meet your true love through a wall and the wall is dropped and it's giving Shrek, or whatever. Do you think that you could like marry this person and continue?
Well, if I was, I would like to believe that I'm going to marry somebody that I am emotionally connected to primarily. If I was on a show, though, I would just assume that everyone on TV is somewhat attractive, which tends to be true. I wouldn't expect anyone to come out looking like Shrek. But if I did build an emotional connection with someone anonymously and then was really turned off by their physical appearance, then I wouldn't marry them because I wouldn't think that would be fair to them, because that'll reflect how I show love and affection, and I don't want to deprive somebody of that connection because I'm repulsed by them, you know what I mean? But I can marry somebody that has that emotional connection, but it's not the most attractive person that I think, you know, there are more attractive people. I don't need to marry somebody that is like the most attractive person. If I'm thinking about marriage, I think about the fact that we are going to be together forever, where our looks are going to change dramatically, you know what I'm saying? So how I look, how you look, all of that stuff is going to change. Circumstances might change, physical, all of that stuff change. So I would prefer to marry somebody based on emotional connection. And yeah.
So basically your answer though is no. You couldn't marry them if you weren't attracted.
If I found them, not if I not was, it's different from me not being attracted to you versus me being repulsed by you.
Well, I didn't say repulsed.
You said Shrek. Shrek is repulsive, babe.
Like, first of all.
You said Shrek. Like,
okay, that was just an example because clearly Fiona and Shrek, they stayed together. But if you were not attracted to them, if you just didn't feel, because did you finish the season of Love is Blind?
Yeah, so I finished both of them.
Let's say, you know, you have this emotional connection. This person's not your usual type, and you don't feel any type of like sexual animalistic attraction to them. I'm thinking of like the guy Shake and Deep T. Thinking of
like
their
something
situation.
Like that. Yeah, I don't care. I can definitely do that. I don't have to feel that like instinctive physical attraction to you to feel like, you know, I feel like the marriage is bigger than that. So I could definitely do that. Those superficial concerns that they had on the show, I wouldn't have like concerns like that.
I felt like you were going to say that. So what do you think what do you think I'm going to say?
You need the physical attraction. Like 1,000%. You need the physical
attraction. Not 1,000. See, you need, so you're saying 1,000. You're saying I'm shallow.
That's no, what saying. I'm saying physical attraction is important to you
it
intimately.
It is. I would say, and if you listen to the last episode, homies, Owade will tell you it's not
she
me.
Read us
it's
for
the
Phil.
It's the chart. It's written in the stars that I need to have somebody who is fine and somebody who I believe is fine and attractive. And for me, in the past, the people that I've dated, they might not be fine to everybody, but they have to be fine to me. That's just like one of the aspects of the things that I need. So I don't think that I could go on one of these shows, to be honest, because I feel like a great emotional connection is amazing, but I definitely also want those in friends. Like, we can be friends, you know? But honestly, if I don't want to, like, jump on you, how we going to... I just don't understand how we're going to make that work, just because I'm a really sexual person. So if, you know, we're going to be together... Because it's like night and day. It's like, if I can't be extremely sexual, I feel like I'm not being myself, you know? Yeah. So, you know... I guess when you throw it all together, it's like, if I can't be attracted to you, then I feel like I can't be myself with you. Because, you know, I skip mm-hmm. some steps there, but that's kind of how I feel, because that's something that's really important to me. So, homies out there, I want to know, like, could you go on a show like Love is Blind or Married at First Sight? Because every season of these type shows, and Married at First Sight is a show that... they are on like season 14. And a lot of times it's like one couple every single cycle. There's somebody who is like, wait a minute, the matchmakers didn't give me what I asked for. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this person is not attractive enough for me. And they kind of bow out before the whole process is done. But then I think about like the first season, there was a woman on the first season. She looked like a supermodel, y'all. She was, you know, she was blonde, the quintessential blonde. She had big boobs. I don't know if she had some work done or she was just naturally pretty, but she was giving Bombshell. And when she came down that aisle and saw who she was going to get married to, this man, I kid you not, this man was not easy to look at. Mm-mm. He wasn't easy to look at. He had like... some type of permanent wart on his face. And it just, and she cried. When I tell you, she cried real tears the entire wedding. She couldn't even look at him. She broke down crying and she didn't stop. And it was like that for a while. But, you know, the experts were like, I think that she's going to fall in love with them. They're perfect for each other. They really, really are. And what ended up happening was, is they ended up falling in love. And to this day, they are still married and they have an entire family. Wow. Yeah. And so it doesn't always end up like that. But I think that it's just so interesting, because it's like, maybe... if you give it a chance.
I would be so down. Especially if I know that there's like, I believe in like the matchmaker process. I believe that love is a chemistry, but it can be sparked. And with the right formula, you can definitely have that. I 100% believe it. I would definitely do it. Now, Married at First Sight, yeah. But Love is Blind or any other matchmaker type stuff, I'm definitely with it. I'd be looking for emotional connections anyway, so I'm with the shits.
So going on an island like Too Hot to Handle would be obviously super easy. Rob wouldn't be on that. They wouldn't pick Rob because they only pick people who are like, no shade, but they pick people who are like hoes.
Yeah.
They only pick people who are like beautiful and hoes.
One, there was one season with one episode where this black guy, he was like, I ain't messing up my money.
I feel like... honestly, I feel like most of the time it's the black people who are not playing about that fucking money on the show. I'm telling you. No, most of the time on Too Hot to Handle, the people who are super like gung-ho for like, we need this money, it's always the black people who are like, nah, y'all are fucking tripping. And most of the time, Too Hot to Handle are people who are from maybe like the UK or... yeah. Australia or South Africa. There's a lot of accents going on that show. But I think that's a really interesting show as well, because there are some couples that have made it from Too Hot to Handle. And there are some people who have had a change of heart that, you know, are commitment phobes who then kind of... They made a 180 and they turned that shit around. So I think that there's something to be said about emotional connection. And I think that I do think attractiveness is important, but I do think that we need to rest a little bit more on emotionally connecting with someone. So when you all are talking to people, like, really try to get to know them as friends. I know that's hard. That's what I'm trying to do in my life right now. Like, let's be friends. Like, regardless if this works out or not, we should try to build a friendship, just because, you know, once neither of you are no longer attractive, well, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm going to be as attractive as I can for as long as I can. But, you know, that's not going to last forever. That's fleeting. And romantic feelings, they come and go. But if you have a foundation of friendship, if you have the foundation of an emotional connection, that's what's going to sustain you. That's what's going to give you longevity. So just a little lesson from some of our shows that are on TV right now that are pushing that emotional connection. There's definitely something to it. And that's all I have for the Red Light District today.
Yes. Thank you so much. Great topics, great discussion. I want to talk a little bit more about them shows in another episode, because now I'm a little bit intrigued. But yeah, let's jump over to Mental Health Society and get into some conversation about the development of children in schools and how important it is to have education that teaches culture.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So earlier, I remember that you had mentioned, you know, that there actually obviously has been a push to kind of remove Black education out of the education system or teaching from Black perspectives. The state of Connecticut actually is the first state in the U.S. to require high schools to teach Black and Latino studies.
We love Connecticut. Shout out to CT. I actually really do honestly love Connecticut. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. So shout out to all my peoples who are from Connecticut. Shout out to Steven. Y'all doing it up there.
Mm-hmm. And about 27% of their students identify as Hispanic or Latino. 13% identifies as Black. So the education commissioner said that it's just very important that we mandate Black and Latino studies for students of all backgrounds, because everybody can benefit from this. And he said that this was a long overdue step, and he's working with the Board of Ed and General Assembly to make sure that everyone in that state has educational resources to get it done. So I'm really happy about that. They did adopt a curriculum that was, they're still working on putting the curriculum together. I feel like it might be ready to go this upcoming fall, because they want to, like, obviously pull some strong foundation for a curriculum that's literally never been done before. So I'm really excited to see that. And I think that it is such an important conversation to talk about readying the next generation through education and teaching them about a lot of different cultures, a lot of different races. On the flip side, Texas just got sued for, they tried to make gender-affirming treatment illegal for kids. There's this whole big thing where parents are seeking out gender-affirming services for their kids that are transgender. And there's some type of loophole in the law that states that transitional treatment or gender-affirming treatment is illegal for a minor, which is odd, especially in the circumstances that their parents are, you know, they considered it abuse, but because of that, they're actually being sued. So there's just this greater conversation about what we are censoring in terms of education, in terms of treatment, and how that speaks volumes on this tug of war that the society actually has. Like, we're trying so hard to keep things traditional, or trying so hard to suppress things that are different, but there's an even greater movement for individuality. And what consistently astonishes me is that, why do you care? Like, why is it that people care what other people are doing? If, I mean, it's one thing if you don't believe in it, or you don't, whatever, on your own time, your own whatever, but why is it important that you restrict this access to the entire world for the sake of what you believe in? Like, what's up with that?
That's fear. People are afraid. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of things that are different. And sometimes there's no real rhyme or reason to that other than their fear is driving their actions. And it's really sad. It's sad. We talked about fear and how powerful it can be. Because like you said, why do you care? But it's the fear of the unknown, and it's the fear of not having control, which I don't know why you want to have control over other people's children's lives. Like, worry about your life and your progeny. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of this does come down to concepts of things that we've heard before: internalized racism, internalized homophobia. I think for the most part, we generally have an understanding that it is a form of self-hatred. However, you can experience internalized homophobic without identifying as homosexual, queer, or anything that is non-binary. I think that there's always been debate on whether or not this is a true quote-unquote phobia or if it's an intolerance. And it really just depends on where that fear is based in. Is this based in a belief system that something bad is going to happen by empowering people of different genders or of different races? Are you afraid of an uprising? Are you afraid? Like, what are you afraid of in terms of that? Or is it internalized in regards to you're trying to suppress those feelings in your own self and you don't want to live in a world where you're triggered to feel those things that you don't want to feel?
Sips tea. It might be either or a little bit of both for people, because that's the thing. There are a lot of people who will never have the courage to explore how they feel, who will never have the courage to explore the things that they're truly interested in or the things that truly inflame them, if you will. That's extremely sad. We already know that being yourself is the most courageous thing that you can do.
Sadly.
Period.
It shouldn't be, but it is. It should not be, but it is. And because of that, I feel like I was having a conversation with someone. I can't remember exactly who, but we were saying it's so crazy how believing in yourself comes naturally to some people, but it's like the scariest thing to do for others. And I do think that some of this suppression of diversity comes from fear of being overpowered, fear of the majority becoming the minority, and fear of a greater portion of the country, Freudian
right.
slip.
The company. It's a business, baby.
Yeah, and a part of that business mindset is keeping employees and employee mindset and managers and the manager mindset. And I feel like one way that we do that as a country is that we convince the whole world that there's only one way to succeed or one way to exist, and we try to punish everything else. So when we get to a place of a world where not only are they affirming different ways of being, but affirming the idea that it's okay to look for a different way of being, it lends itself away from the company.
Yeah, because they can't dictate what you're going to want, so they can't sell you things.
Yeah.
You know, it trickles down. It's always about the green. Let's talk about that at the end of the day. If they don't know their customers, if their customers are doing this and there's nothing to corral them into thinking a certain way, there's no way that they're going to manipulate what you're going to buy, what you're going to believe in, where you're going to spend your money. And that can be really dangerous.
Yeah. There's such a big difference between free speech and free thought. I think I speak a lot to this because oftentimes we don't understand that even with our free speech, we've been programmed to think a certain way. So our thoughts aren't as free. Our thoughts are just as dictated as, you know what I mean? And sometimes it just manifests in this way where we feel like we're exercising liberation because we're practicing free speech. But we're not liberated. We're still trapped because our thoughts are programmed into us based on the things that we consume. It's really sad. But what I really like is that there are these young people that are really taking control of how they see the world. They are not conforming to this global brand. I think that within a few generations, that's going to definitely dissipate. While there are trendier things and stuff like that, identity is starting to become its own thing. It's becoming its own journey, its own process. You'll notice that people are changing their language, which is amazing. A lot of people refer to their significant others as their partner, whether they're in a same-sex or opposite-sex relationship or a gender nonconforming relationship. Just the language alone is kind of lending itself for some senses of unity, which I really definitely appreciate. So glad that Connecticut took this leap and really made this change. I hope that the rest of the country follows suit. But again, there's always going to be people pulling against the grain and trying to prevail as dictating what history should be taught or who should fall in love with who or what gender is allowed to be expressed. But the fact that we are constantly moving forward does give me hope for the future. It definitely does.
It does. I want to say not only language, but garments that people wear. You know, there's a lot of heteronormative things that were burned into our brain. And I think of something that just came out, Lakeith Stanfield. He just came out with a new photo shoot. And everybody's kind of like in an uproar because in one of the pictures he has on like some lace stockings with like his suit or whatever he has on. And I mean, people were mad. People were like, what is happening to our men? They're doing this to our men and yada, yada, yada. Right. And so, like you said, like even with the whole the gender thing and, you know, sometimes I just think like, you guys, these are garments. Garments do not dictate their clothes. And I'm a huge, now, if you know me, you know, any given day, I am going to be wearing whatever it is I want to wear, whether that is like some type of loose tomboy situation fit, if this is some type of baggy pants, sweatshirt, if this is a tight, you know, a tight top, crop top, like I wear whatever I want to. And people make their assumptions. People make their assumptions about my sexuality based on what I wear. And I think it's very, very interesting because if you really think about it, it has nothing to do with it. It's kind of crazy that we, you know, as a society for so long have been under these constraints, under these rules, these imaginary rules about what items of clothing men can wear, what items of clothing women can wear. So it's not even just the language, it's the aesthetics, whether men are allowed to wear makeup or not, whether men are allowed to paint their nails or not. And so you have a lot of women, men, and everyone in between challenging these things right now. And I think it's an amazing thing. I'm for it. And I'm going to tell you one thing, because I feel like it's all in the era that we're in. Because if you think about back to the 80s, if you think about Prince, the 70s and the 80s, and you think about Prince and he wore heels, and think about how amazing and a role model, not a role model, but you know.
Yeah, well, he had men dressing like him. He had women dressing like him.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
he was a movement. And so you think about people like Prince, and you know, it took Prince, you know, however long to get his flowers. I think that in our world today, I think that we've moved backwards in that way. To where, you know, Lakeith comes out and he decides he wants to wear, instead of socks, he's wearing beautiful lace, like lace socks that come up to the knee, and he, you know, he crosses his legs and everybody is like, whoa, what's going on here? And I'm like, honestly, being yourself is the sexiest thing you can do to me. Period. Period.
10,000%. I think we forget that there is like, there are some things creatively that express masculine energy and some things express feminine energy and some things express a little bit of both. But it was man's decision to subscribe feminine energy to women and masculine energy to man. While biology makes a subtle suggestion in terms of one thing being inserted inside of another where dominance and submission lie, dominance and submission doesn't have to be male or female. And it doesn't have to be man or woman. And it doesn't have to be masculine or feminine. And I think that we're starting to get to this place where we're understanding that life exists on a spectrum of fluidity. Everything is fluid. Everything beautiful is fluid. And
balanced. Everything beautiful has a balance. It has a balance.
Very balanced. And it's hilarious to me. Well, it's not hilarious. It's kind of sad, but it is something laughable when I see people making the decisions to express who they are. They're not asking for anything in return. They're just taking a picture and putting on some stockings, and that's how they feel, whatever they was expressing. Maybe they felt sexy, maybe they was making a statement, whatever the case may be. That's what they felt. And for people to then internalize that and say, what's happening to our men? How is this an action relating to all men? You know what I'm saying? And even if you yourself have observed that there is more fluidity in men, why do you then think that there's a problem with all men instead of thinking, well, hey, maybe I should be thinking about this differently? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how you can look at the world changing and progressing and growing and crossing over and still think that there's something wrong with everybody except for you.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, if you think of feminine energy, this Awade kind of touched on this as well, but feminine energy is creative energy. So you think about all the artists in the world, they have to tap into feminine energy to even create the songs that you love so much, whether they're talking about fucking bitches or hoes or whatever, the energy that they have to tap into is still feminine energy, which is hilarious. Like you said, you know, there's so much more to it. And I just think that I wish that the world was a little bit more open, but in order to do that, you have to be more informed. So what we're going to do here at The Bridge is we're going to keep informing motherfuckers. Okay.
We're going to let them know for sure, because we can't continue like this. And this just comes back to the concept of not being informed. When we take actions to censor what we teach kids, we are teaching them that there is one way of being, and there's one way of doing, and there's one way of being okay. That's why it's important for us to teach multiple perspectives of history, not just the ones where white people are the heroes. That's why it's important for us to teach multiple family dynamics. We need to teach values. We need to teach love outside of man and woman. We need to teach connection. We need to teach intimacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about how many people can fall in love but never know how to be intimate because they were never taught that. You know, so we need to start teaching we need to bring a more human element into what we're teaching our young people, as well as what we're teaching ourselves. When I see people that are flipping out about Mr. Stanfield wearing some stockings, like, that the only reason why you're bothered is because it makes you feel some way about yourself. Let's be honest. Like, it's a reality that maybe the world isn't the way you thought it was, and that is upsetting you and your homegirls. Like, it really don't make no sense. I always look at that like, what does this have to do with you, and why are you really pressed? Like,
you know, I think that I just got this image in my head, and honestly, if I were stuck inside of a box looking at people around me walking around freely and doing whatever they want and being who they wanted to be, and I was stuck inside a box, I would actually be fucking mad too. So, I mean, just think about it. If stuff like that pisses you off, you might have to look down at your feet because you might be standing in a box.
Absolutely. And when we come to the conversation of talking about what's happening to all of our women, what's happening to all of our men, I encourage you to look at yourself. And I remember when I was speaking on the podcast,
Sister Talk.
Yeah. That was one of the things. We was like, how come guys are complaining about women this and women that? And I was like, I don't necessarily understand or feel the notion to complain about all of anybody because I have options. If I'm with you and I don't like you, I have options to date someone else. I feel like it's only when you don't have any options that you start complaining about all men, all women, all this. Because why cry and complain when you can just go find what you want? Like,
and by the way, most of y'all ain't got Lakeith as an option, so stop.
At all. Y'all ain't touching.
He's not an option to you, so please. No. I'm sure he's wearing his stockings, living his life, fucking whoever he wants to fuck, not worried about you, because you are not on Lakeith's level. At all.
So he was not your man. It wasn't what's happening to our man. Y'all men are still what you've been. They still what they are.
They still doing the same. They still doing the same shit. Men are still doing the same shit.
Yeah, so. They out there. You want to go get them, go get them. But what Mr. Stanfield's doing is a whole nother level of expression. And I applaud him for that. And I think that we need to continue doing that crossover. I think fashion has a very big influence on gender role. And I like that there's a movement for clothes that are suitable, that are not made for just women or men. They're made to fit both. So I think that it's important that we continue to push artistry and fashion and education in a direction that crosses over and crosses lines and crosses boundaries so that we can start to color outside of the lines and discover some new ways of being beautiful. And I applaud him for his bravery, as well as everybody else that's out there pushing that androgyny envelope. Make it happen. I want us to make spectrums normal. Like, let's stop saying that these clothes are for women and these clothes are for men. Pick out what expresses you. What are you feeling? If that expresses you, then wear that.
And it can be different. It can be different from day to day, because your energy from day to day changes. And that's one of the reasons why from day to day I could be a new person, just because the energy is not giving this. The energy is not the same in the universe every day. Mm-hmm. And your energy is not the same every day. And I think that fashion is another expression of self. And I think it's a beautiful thing to just be yourself, period. Like, I feel like that's all we need to say about that. Just be yourself. And if it's hard for you to be yourself, then you need to do some soul searching. Absolutely. It's time to do some soul searching and find the courage to figure out who you are first. And then think about how that person wants to express themselves. You're not quite there yet, but let me tell you something. You will make it there.
And if you choose to live in a box and not express yourself, that's your problem. Don't make that other people's problem. And don't shame people for choosing to live a more liberating life.
Wear some stockings if you want to, okay? But yes. That was actually a great topic. It kind of morphed into a lot of different things, but I'm glad that we touched on that. It was something that needed to be talked about. So thank you for that, Rob. And thank you for all of the homies out there who joined us for this episode. This was a really good time. We went back, we took it forward into the future, and we hope that things change in the world in a big way. If you would like to see more of us, you can follow us on Instagram at The Bridge Millennial Podcast. Okay. And on Twitter, we are at The Glitch Homie. My personal page on Instagram is I Am Shannon Ashlea.
That's what's up. And you guys can find me at Just Rob's World.
We will catch you next time. We have a cool Glitch Homie situation for you next time, so you don't want to miss it. Catch up on those episodes, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Peace.
Holla back.